wheelie suitcases, and they were out of there straight away. Those slaves were suddenly free. These people, who had not been a people, were called chosen by God. They were God's chosen people. This is an amazing moment for them. This is like the birthday for the whole nation. This is something that is worth remembering, worth celebrating forever. And so it's so important that God himself says that every year the Israelites had to remember this event on a special day, and they had to have roast lamb, flatbread, and the salad, and remember it, to remember it. And so that was the first Passover. And now we're going to fast forward in time, fast forward in time, many hundreds of years, and we're going to stop in on a smaller group of Israelites gathered in Jerusalem. Now it's the time of year for Passover for these Israelites. And actually, the day on which Passover was going to be eaten. And the leader of the group, who we'll call the teacher, sent two of the group into the city, where they met a man carrying a jar of water, just as the teacher said they would. And they follow this man to a house. And the owner of the house shows them up to a guest room, already set out for a Passover meal, just like the teacher told them they would. And so this pair, their job is to get ready for the Passover meal. So they have to find a lamb and get it roasted, have to get some flatbread, some salad, get hold of some wine, and set it out ready for this whole group. Now this would have been something they would have done, happening all through their lives. It's a bit like, you know, Christmas. Do you ever remember not celebrating Christmas in this country? Same, they would always have celebrated Passover. When they were really little babies, as they grew up, maybe they started helping their mum and dad to prepare the Passover meal. But this is something, and every year they would have had the roast lamb, the flatbread, the salad, every year. And so they'd know what they were doing, really familiar, really comfortable, thing to be doing. And so later on that evening, the whole group are eating together and celebrating the Passover. They're telling that story of that moment where God set the Israelites free and from slavery and made them into a people. And later on in the meal, Jesus, because obviously, I expect you've guessed, it's Jesus and the disciples we're talking about here. Jesus took the bread and broke it into pieces and gave it to the disciples and said, "This bread is my body that I'm giving it for you. Do this to remember me." And I wonder what the disciples were thinking at this point. Maybe they were thinking, that's not what normally happens in the Passover. What's Jesus talking about? This is something new. And then after they'd finished eating, Jesus took the cup of wine. And he gave it to the disciples, saying, "This cup shows the new agreement that God makes with his people. This new agreement begins with my blood, which is poured out for you." And now, hang on a sec, what does all this mean? I expect the disciples were wondering the same thing. Now, Jesus, really, that's just really not part of the Passover story normally. And maybe we're wondering, what on earth does that mean? Well, shortly after that Passover meal, Jesus was betrayed by his good friend Judas, who sat there eating with him. Jesus was taken away, he was tried, and he was put to death on the cross. Now, when he was on the cross, let me get out the bread, because this is presenting the bread that we had. On the cross, was Jesus' body whole, or was it all broken when he's hanging on the cross? Whole or broken? Whole? Well, it was broken, wasn't it? His body was broken for us, yeah? On the cross. And when he was on the cross and he had the nails through his hands and through his feet, Was all the blood inside him, or was it pouring out? Would it have been pouring out? It would have been pouring out, wouldn't it? And so, Jesus' blood is poured out for us. And that's what he meant when he was saying that. And so, as Jesus and his disciples sit and remember that first Passover, years, centuries ago, where God took a bunch of slaves and set them free and said, these are my people. So Jesus is saying he's going to do it again. That again, a firstborn son, because Jesus was a firstborn son, God's firstborn son is going to die. But that death is going to lead to freedom from slavery for people. But slavery to what? What does that mean? Well, it's freedom from being a slave to all the wrong things that you've ever done. Freedom from all the things that separate us from God. Freedom to live God's way. Freedom from death. Well, and for what people as well? And not just this time for the Israelites, way specific group, but for me, for you. In fact, for anyone who believes in Jesus and repents of their sin. And so God gave the Israelites a special meal, the Passover, to remember the freedom. So we now have a special meal, and the disciples a special meal, the bread and the wine, to remember this new freedom that he won for them. And so, what about today? Well, before we get here, we're going to stop in on another place briefly. 50-ish years on from Jesus, and we're going to look at what was happening there. Here, we get to stop at Corinth. That is what Corinth looks like today. Just show off my holiday snaps. But at the time, it was a really big, really important city, and the Apostle Paul wrote them a letter. And in that letter, he said that, well, he talked about what Jesus said and did on that Passover night with the bread and the wine. And he said to them that every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, bread and cup, you show others about Jesus' death until he comes again. Now that is a pretty important thing to be doing, showing others about Jesus' death. But Paul also says to the church in Corinth that some people seem to have forgotten what it is all about. They were coming in, they were just gobbling up all the bread and wine themselves, they were not sharing any with anybody else, they're basically just stuffing their faces, which is just not what it's about. Okay, it's about sharing and celebrating together. But Paul also says to the church, it's not a great idea to come and take part in this special thing, remembering, celebrating Jesus' death, if you've had an argument with someone or fallen out with them. Paul says you should go to that person and make it up with them, say sorry, before you come and have the bread and the wine. And so finally to us, and we still do this breaking of bread and sharing of wine, and we call this communion. I think you might have heard about that, talked about in your kids' groups already. So we can do this as part of a small group. Maybe you have people around for a meal and you want to celebrate what Jesus did for you and remember that. But we also do it together as a church. And we'd normally do that as part of our, in this site, part of our evening prayer meeting powerhouse. But we'll do that today all together in a minute. And as we do that, we are joining with people from all of history. From that first Passover, where people were set free from slavery and became a people of God, to Jesus and the disciples, where he breaks the bread and gave them the wine, to that first church in Corinth, where people, again, were breaking bread and having wine. And all around the world today, and all into the future, until Jesus comes again, there will be people who are taking communion, who are breaking the bread, drinking the wine, and we are joining with them today to celebrate the death that Jesus died, the freedom that brought, and to show others about that. So that is an amazing thing that we get to do. Now, practically, what we're going to do in a bit, you'll notice there are two tables. There will be, we'll split the room approximately in half. And if you're on this side, please head over to that table in a minute. And if you're on that side, approximately, that's fine. Please head over to that table and Jen will be there and James will be over there. If you need gluten-free bread, it'll be on this side. Please go and see Jen. And if we just start with sort of the front rows and just, when I say in a bit, just in an orderly fashion, come and take your piece of bread, your little cup of wine, or Ribena as it actually is for the kids, and take that back to your seat. Take that moment to think about what you're doing and then take the bread and the wine. And perhaps if the band would like to come up at this point as well. But before we do that, let's take a moment to remember what Paul said to that Corinthian church. If there's someone we're upset with, and this applies to you as well, kids, if you go take communion, someone you're upset with, do we need to go and forgive them? Or maybe there's someone you need to say sorry to. Maybe you had an argument with one of your parents or your siblings before you came to church, and you need to say sorry to them or something. You might need to take a moment to go and put that right. Or maybe it's Jesus we need to say sorry to. Maybe you know that you're not right with Jesus in your heart. Well, we're about to remember and celebrate he loved you so much that he died to set you free. So come to him again and take that moment to come and receive his love. And if you aren't a Christian here today, well, this is about showing others about Jesus' death. Is that something you want to do? If not, that's fine. Feel free to sit it out. But if it is, fantastic. I'd like to invite you to make a commitment to live the rest of your life for Jesus and to accept this offer of freedom that he gives to you. And you might want to talk to someone you came with or to me or to one of the leaders here about that in a minute. So let's take a moment in silence. If the band could just come back, maybe play a little bit of music. Just take a moment in silence to think about those things. Is there anything we need to say sorry to God, to anybody else for, or to God for? And to maybe act on those things. And then I will invite you to come up for communion. All right, so if you're ready and you've had that moment, do spend some time with Jesus and think about if there's anyone you need to say sorry to, then I'd like you to invite you to, starting with the first rows, to come up, take communion, take a piece of the bread, a cup of the juice, and head back to your seats, and then feel free to take that when you're ready. And children, if you want to go and find your parents and go and do it with them, that'd be